Thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is Bella DeSoto, Pro Tem Chair of the KPFK Finance Committee meeting. Today is, if somebody can mute, please, too much noise. Today is April 14th, 2021. We start promptly at 4:30. We are just getting off a little late here, 4:38. I want to welcome everyone, especially our new IGM, Mr. Mo Thomas, Maurice Mo Thomas. Welcome, Thomas, Mo, whichever way you prefer.
Yeah, Mo is most people refer to me as Mo, and good afternoon, everyone.
Okay, Mo, thank you very much. You have a, if you like, you can take a minute to introduce yourself. I know I saw an email. It was sent out a bit late. Can you do that?
Sure. My name is Maurice Mo Thomas. I am acting as your interim general manager until hopefully and quickly you can find a permanent general manager. So I'm on loan to you from Washington. As the old joke goes, I'm from Washington and I'm here to help you. The ending up, that's usually has a pejorative meaning to it. Nevertheless, I've been in broadcasting for more than 50 years. 41 of those years are with ABC News, where I was a technical director and master control engineer. I've been with PFW and Pacifica since 2013, working with transmitters and transmission systems for the Eastern stations. And I was interim general manager for Jerry Paris when he had his stroke last year. And I stood in for him, and I'm still assisting him as a manager in Washington. Just not in an official capacity, but doing whatever I can to help him out. And so I was asked to come over here and hang on while you guys look for a new permanent general manager. And I'm happy to be here. At the moment, I'm in Aniel's old office in L.A., and I will be here until Friday night. You should have my thumbnail resume, and you should have my contact data, which we've emailed out to everybody. And I'm certainly happy to be here.
Thank you so much, Mo. Welcome. And we are very grateful that you were able to join us for as long as you can stay with us. I am going to take roll call. Someone else has joined us. I am going to take roll call right now. Alan Beek.
Did you call Alan Beek?
Yes, sir.
I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan Beek. Bella DeSoto here. Fred Blair.
Present.
Janine Ron.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Rocio Rivas. There is so much noise. Rocio, are you with us? Okay, we move on. Dave Johnson?
I'm here.
Thank you. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Great. Jen Langer?
Here.
Ken Aaron?
Would somebody, hold on, here. Hey, would somebody making all the noise please mute their phone?
Thank you. Okay. Ken Aaron.
Here.
You're present. Okay, great. Kim Kaufman. Okay. Ruth Strauss.
Here.
Thank you.
And
let me just ask, is Mo available beyond the 3 months or only for the 3 months?
I don't want to sound mercurial, but we'll talk about that in August, I guess. But yeah, I'll be here.
Okay.
You know.
Thank you.
Okay, Steve Kaiser. Okay, moving on. Barry Brooks.
Present.
Beautiful. And Mo is present. Is James Sugerton with us? Okay. All right. We certainly have more
Bella,
than one.
Bella, this is Beth, and I'm here too.
Oh, hello, Beth. One moment. I need to put you on. Hold on the list. All right. Okay. Everyone received the agenda in the minutes, correct? They were sent out twice. Okay. This is also being audio streamed at kpftx.org. I will read the agenda lineup for the stream. One moment. Approve the agenda. Approve minutes for March 10, 2021. Set next meeting date, which should be Wednesday, May the 12th, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Entertain any amendments, if any. Adjustment, election for a permanent chair, if there should be a need to accept nominations. The teller, Terry Goodman, has been notified, and he will conduct the process, and I will turn the chair over to someone else in the event that we do go through the process. Election result to be announced either at the end of our meeting, hopefully, or tomorrow. But Terry Goodman will let us know, depending how things go. Comments on the pro temp, from the pro temp chair, that's me, if any, which I normally have some comments. Intro report on current station financial status. Welcome the new IGM, which we did. Report on current financial status from business manager, his summary report, Q&A from the committee and the public. Number 11, review February 2021 P&L, the fund drive, and the fund drive that we never did receive a concluding document, nor have we received, I have not received the cost as of yet. For the February fund drive that lasted through March 14th. We just received the February P&L, so we will go over that. In relationship to the June 11th, 2020 PNB motion to reduce KPFK's expenditures by at least 30%, where do we stand regarding that date, staff reductions, et cetera? Again, revisit the Allegiance fund drive data, February fund drive update from update why Allegiance has not been able to document the cost side of the fund drive. Maybe Barry can enlighten us there. He said that Terry Guy has sent out the cost sheet. I have not seen it. Presentation and discussion.
Hello?
Did I hear someone?
I was saying you should check your email because I got it, and it was addressed to you and everybody else you sent it to from Terry.
Who is speaking, please?
Michael Novick, Terry Dyson, message at 11:41 a.m. with February 2021 premium cost as an attachment spreadsheet.
I am having a hard time hearing you, Michael. I'm sorry. You said that it was sent out when?
I said Terry Guy sent the message at 11:41 a.m. to you and 20 more people, including me, with the February 2021 premium costs as an Excel
okay,
attachment.
Good. Let me look for that as an attachment from Terry Guy. I even did a search for his name. I did not see it. 11:29 today.
11:29.
What time?
11:41 is.
11:41. Okay.
I just forwarded again to you, Bella. Thank you.
I do not have it. Oh, thank you so much. Okay. Let me go back to the. I will open it up in a few moments. Let me go back to the agenda. Thank you for that. And where was I? Okay. Number 13, hopefully, presentation and discussion, hopefully, be in receipt of the PND budget, PPFK budget. That would have been from our motion and other issues from March 14th. Compare with Alan's prior proposed budget with a 65% revenue retention, 40 to 55% reduction across departmental expenses presentation. This document was also submitted several times to the group. Janine's 2021 cash flow forecast prepared before the February meeting. Unfortunately, we were all supposed to have received an updated one. Janine can tell us what's going on with that. Q&A from the committee. Number 14, we're done here. Discussion of the upcoming special LSB Finance Committee others meetings on Sunday. Oh, I'm so sorry. I should have taken that out. So sorry. We're going to cross that out. So that's out. So we only have 13 items on the agenda. And any new business, and I think that we should also have good and welfare. It was not added. People can decide that in adjournment. So first we need to approve the agenda as it stands, any comments, amendments, et cetera.
Bill, can Fred be recognized?
Fred. Yes, Fred.
We should set a time certain. for adjournment of 2 hours.
Yes. I don't think we can do 2 hours today. I'm afraid not. But I would entertain 2.5 hours if there is consensus for that. And plus, we do not know if there will be nominations for a permanent chair. There's some unknowns here. Plus, we have a special guest.
Well, hold on, Bill, you're all over the place. My question was about it, saying a time certain for adjournment of 2 hours would be at 6:30. 2.5 hours would be at 7.
Right.
Let's deal with one issue at a time.
Okay. Well, let me take a roll then. Let's see how people feel about that, because we have not even started our agenda. Alan Beek, your vote. 2 hours or 2.5 hours?
Alan Beek, for not setting a definite time.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto, I concur. Fred Blair?
Let's set 7 o'clock as a time certain for adjournment.
Okay, so you're saying 7 o'clock, okay. Okay, let me go back to the list. Janine?
I think it needs to go on as long as it needs to, but I will say I personally have to get off at 6 o'clock. I have to go back and forth as of 6 o'clock because I have something else going on. So I will try to manage both starting at 6.
Okay, thank you very much. Lawrence Reyes.
So I'm abstaining. I can only stay to 6 o'clock today, so I don't want to influence
That's fine.
The decision.
Michael
Thank
Novick?
You.
Thank you. Michael Novick?
I was muted, sorry. I'm going to say 7 o'clock because we have a governance committee meeting at 7:30.
That is correct, okay. Rocio, are you with us? She was not on roll call. Okay, she's missing. Dave Johnson, your vote.
I vote for 2 hours because we wouldn't get this agenda finished if we had 4 hours. 2 hours.
Okay, 2 hours, okay. Grace Aaron?
7 o'clock.
Okay. John Wenger? John, are you mute? Okay.
Yeah, I'm muted. I am muted. I have a new phone. I don't care. I have to leave at 6 o'clock anyhow. I could come back at 7. But
what is your vote then?
Longer.
I'm sorry?
Longer, as long as it takes would be my vote.
Thank you. Ken Aaron?
7.
Kim Kaufman is not with us. Ruth Strauss?
As long as it takes, but if members aren't present for any votes, I would say votes should be tabled. I have to be absent from 5 to 6, and then we'll come back on.
Okay, thank you, Ruth. Steve Kaiser?
Steve is not on the call.
Okay. Beth Von Guten?
In general, I like to meet until we get through business, until as long as it takes. But I have the governance committee also after this, and so at some point I'll have to leave.
Thank you, Beth. Barry Brooks?
2 hours.
Okay. Okay, so I am going to add, we have 5 people for 2 hours, the rest for as long as it takes. However, the governance committee is this evening, and unfortunately we have a lot of ground to cover. I would like to suggest at this point that we reschedule another follow-up meeting this month, depending how the role tonight, because there's a lot going on and many unanswered questions in areas that need to be talked about. And I don't know if we're going to have enough time tonight. And I have to be at that governance committee myself. So 7 o'clock seems to be only because the governance committee forces us to close down earlier. So,
a point of information?
Yes.
Why did you invite a non-member to vote on this? Barry and staff people are not members, therefore they don't vote. So that's KPFA bylaw.
All right. I wanted just to know if he would be able to stay on. But you
well,
are
that's
right.
That's an inquiry. That's an inquiry, not a vote.
Yes, you are absolutely right. Thank you.
Relevant.
Okay. Let's move on then. We will have to then adjourn at 7 o'clock, it seems, only out of necessity. Okay? All right. We need to approve the agenda, and I would like to ask someone if they can be a timekeeper.
Is this a point of information? Is this, are you asking for speaker timetable or a timekeeper or a timekeeper for the agenda?
A timekeeper for the speakers.
I can try my hand at it, but I, again, okay. I will need to go at
I this. Understand. Yes, thank you so much, Janine. We decided, we passed a motion last month that it would be, 2 minutes per speaker. Some complained that it was not enough, so 3 minutes per speaker, depending on the topic. And there may be a follow-up, but we got to play around with that. And then the chair will place herself or himself at the end of the stack. Okay. Can we approve of the agenda as it stands?
Bella, I'd like the floor. Is this Grace?
Grace. Go ahead, Grace.
Yes. Terry Guy responded to your request for information with an allegiance readout of all the premiums and how much they generated in the last fund drive. And he also, you asked him if he could be available for this call, and he
Correct.
Said yes, yes, but only for a half hour. So I would like to add Terry
Okay.
to this agenda.
Sounds
and,
good.
If somebody can volunteer to call him, perhaps, and see when he's available so we can put him on the agenda.
Sure.
Depending upon his availability.
Okay.
I've had him on a finance committee call, and I'm sure that people
yeah.
have questions for him.
Absolutely, which is why I invited him. You know what is interesting, Grace? Why is it that you have that information, but I don't have it? And, Janine, I do not have the email you just sent me. You said you sent me Terry Guy's response.
Lawrence, the back.
Lawrence, one moment.
Yeah.
I am asking Janine
okay.
something. Janine?
Yes, Bella. I did forward it. I'm not sure why it hasn't arrived.
Okay.
So,
which email did you send it to?
I'm looking right now. Sorry. I'm sorry, I'm not able to tell you. It's I'm not able to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Grace, is there a possibility you can send that to me right now to Bella at belladiaz.info?
I think I can.
I appreciate that very, very much.
I just sent it again.
Barry, is that you?
No, Michael.
Oh, Michael, okay.
Yeah, Bella, I requested this back, Lawrence.
Yes, Lawrence, go ahead, please.
Okay, so I don't know what's happening with your email, but I got the information, and I'm not – I just recently became a participant in this committee, so I don't know what's happening, man. I know that – everybody else has seemed to have gotten it, so I don't know.
And something is going on because I do not have it.
This is Dave.
And, Steve, is that Steve?
No, that was Dave.
Dave, go ahead, Dave.
I didn't think I had the Terry Guy information either, but I just checked.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I went to my spam account. I guess it... My computer didn't recognize Terry's email address, but I do have it now, but I didn't think I did.
I just got it from Terry, and there is an attachment, and I am going to open it in Excel, which is great. He put it in Excel, and I just saw Janine's response as well. So these things came in late. Normally, I get everything right away. So, okay. Okay, in the meantime, let's go back. Good. That looks good. Let me see the bottom, the total. Okay. Let's go back to our agenda.
Okay, this is Grace. Hello?
Yes, Grace, we are going to add Terry Guy to the agenda. So I don't have Terry Guy's telephone number, personal number, that is. And I cannot call him at this time. Can someone else do that? Volunteer to do that. 818-985-2711. You may or may not get him. So it would be good if we have a cell phone for him.
Okay. This is Grace. Can I suggest something?
Sure.
Okay. I was wondering if Barry has Terry's number.
Yes.
Barry?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But I don't
and
have
if
it.
You can, and if you can call him.
Okay,
possibly.
I'll call him. Then I'll come back on, okay?
Okay, and ask what his availability is, and then we'll put him on the agenda whenever he's available.
Okay, Grace. I'll call you back. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Grace. Okay. So we are being held speech by this. However, in the meantime, I think we should go ahead and add him because he will come in at some point. And where he can come in right before Barry Brooks' report. How do people feel about that? So that would put him at one moment. We can make him number 11, and that would put him right, or let's see, let me see where, and we can eliminate the area of, oh, he will be number 13, and that area will be then, the content of that will be eliminated because he will be able to address the cost and everything else. So let's take that out through drive data and put, or at the beginning, we can put Terry Guy there. Membership director, Terry Guy, membership director.
Point of information.
Okay, there it is. Yes, who is this, please, if people can identify themselves.
Yeah, this is John Wenger.
Hi, John.
My question is, given that he's a scarce resource, and I'm not sure what day time he's planning going home today, why don't we just put him as soon as he's available, which is as soon as possible, so we can get him. I think having him at number 13 might mean that he won't be at this meeting at all.
No. That is just a placeholder. We can certainly have the leverage to do that. As soon as it's available, he comes in.
It requires changing the agenda, though. It takes time to change the agenda. Put him on as soon as possible.
We are not approving the agenda right now. Because it's dynamic. So let's just leave it open, and as soon as he comes in, then he will be able to speak with us.
Okay, Grace, I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
Recognize. Okay, I'd like to move that the agenda be accepted as amended.
Okay, thank you. Any objections to accepting the agenda as amended?
Excuse me, point of information. does as amended mean that Terry Guy will be able to speak
correct.
When he comes on? Okay, great.
Correct.
I second the motion. I second the motion.
That's true. Thank you. Okay, we need to move on. Okay.
Bella, I'm back.
Okay, Barry, were you successful?
Yeah, he's there. He's going to be calling in momentarily. His cell number is 818-210-7952. So he should be able to call you in the next 5 minutes, and he'll be available for like 30 minutes, he said.
Barry?
Okay, great.
Hold on, Bella, please. Barry,
you need to be recognized.
I'm talking directly to Barry. I want to ask, did you give him a PIN so he can get in?
Yeah, I did. I gave him the PIN. Gave him everything.
And is it your PIN or what?
Yeah, it's at 565-489.
Okay.
Fred. Fred. It's only logical that Barry would have given him his credential for this time. If he wants to be with us in the future, then we can designate him a special PIN.
Let me do the streaming, Bella.
Okay, I call for orders of the day.
Thank you. Okay, so now we are at approving the minutes. Everyone received the minutes. Any comments?
So moved.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. Hearing none. Our next meeting will be May 12th, 2021, 4:30 p.m. has become the standard now. Any other amendments or any, is there any new business that people will like to, bring on today to the agenda? It would be good hearing it now.
We already approved the agenda.
Yes, that is correct. But I just don't think we should be surprised down the road.
This is Alan Beek.
Hi, Alan. Go ahead, Alan.
I would like to request that Barry give us some help in preparing a budget which is reasonable. I don't think we have had one yet.
If I may interject, Alan, the Pacifica National Board has been charged with that. They're working on it. In fact, yesterday, they met to go over the budget requirements for KPFK. They're working on it. You may recall that a motion was passed on March 14th. We need to move on, and I would like for us to get back to our agenda. Barry, you will be next, and I just wanted to ask you, Barry, before you give us your report, I keep asking you about the list of vendors that I have sent you from the general ledger, which you have not been able to respond to. This is the third month, you just say that you have not had the time. Also, where is the bank reconciliation for February? Or March, where
already
the general...
Gave, already gave you the bank reconciliation for February.
Point of order. Point of order, Bella.
Gave you the bank reconciliation.
I don't know whether I'll get to vote or not. I will if I can. And if I have anything...
Point of order, Bella.
Yes, I hear a lot of noise in the background.
Yeah.
One moment, Fred. Okay, go ahead, Fred.
Looking at the...
Someone needs to move me.
It sounds like Janine.
Janine? Okay.
Not me. It was Beth.
Point of order.
Go ahead.
Are you, looking at the agenda, the next item on the agenda has to do with the election of permanent chair. Has that been moved or skipped or what?
No, it has not been moved or skipped. And you are right. I asked for nominations earlier on, and no one said a beep. Are there any nominations?
This is Beth. I'd like to nominate Fred.
Okay. Thank you. I nominate myself, Bella DeSoto. Any other nominations? Are there any other nominations?
There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise on this conference call. Could people mute their microphones if they're not if they don't want to speak? Thank you.
Okay. So thank you. So we have two nominations. I also sent a week or so ago. I consulted with Terry Goodman regarding the process today. I also sent him an email. Someone needs to mute their phone. Fred?
Okay,
Fred,
I just...
Can you tell who...
Yeah, it was Ruth Strauss. I had to mute her.
Ruth. Oh, okay, okay. Thank you. Sorry, Ruth. So I also sent him an email today, a little while ago, just to give him heads up to be available. Did anyone else, Michael, have you heard from Terry Goodman, regarding, playing teller for us today?
I'll check my email.
Okay. We can do this two ways. For for expediency, we can forego the teller side and do it via email, and they can be sent to a neutral party. We can elect someone to receive the emails. I would like to either select Michael Novick or Janine Ron. Either one.
Could Fred be recognized?
Hold on one moment. Someone just joined us. Is that Terry Guy?
Yes, I'm on.
Hello, Terry Guy. How are you? Welcome, finally.
Okay.
Welcome and great having you on board. We have had need to talk to you for quite a while. And how long can you stay with us?
Well, I'm joining later than I expected. I did say 30 minutes.
Oh, that's good enough. That's ample and very gracious. Let me put a note here. Okay. Give me one moment. We decided to put you on and open the floor for you at the beginning, but we are trying to solve an issue of a permanent election right now, chair election. Janine, did I hear you try to say something?
Yes, I was just going to make a suggestion that seeing how there's only two candidates that we have when we get to the election, because I know Terry Guy is going to start, but if we could just have statements and then we can vote, we can continue with the meeting and vote after the meeting is completed and the results would be before the next meeting. That's what I was going to suggest.
Okay. Yes, because we have a lot to cover. We have a lot to cover. Beth, go ahead, Beth.
I just wanted to be sure that when we finish with Terry, that we're expedient about getting through our business before 6 o'clock because a number of people have to leave then. I don't know if, well, I know that Ruth was concerned. I'm not sure what time she has to leave, whether she's still, she had asked that if people leave, that they still have the opportunity to vote.
Exactly. So, Ruth, are you there?
Excuse me, Madam Chair?
Yes, Janine.
If we could vote on my suggestion, I can make it into a motion, then that would expedite everything because we wouldn't have the election while the meeting's going on. So it we could.
Okay.
Thank you.
I hear you.
Good.
Thank you.
This is Ruth. I have to leave, I do want a chance to vote. Thank you.
Ruth, you need to be updated. We are postponing the election until after the meeting.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
So that people can vote via email.
Bella, this is Grace with a point of order.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. I hear Janine's suggestion. However, that was not voted on. And so it's not really a change in the agenda yet. What is the method of voting in this election? Is it by email? Is it by voice vote?
It will be via email.
Okay.
Point of information. Bella, point of information. This is John. Point of information.
Go ahead, John.
We said that we would drop everything and listen to Terry because his time is valuable. And we would go to Terry as soon as he came in. Well, he's here, and we're chitter-chattering and doing other business. We've already voted that Terry has priority. Everything stops. We just listen to Terry, and then we go do the other stuff. So we voted on that. Let's execute the agenda as we voted on it.
Good point.
Okay, let's move on with Terry, guys. Terry.
Bella?
Can I share? Yes.
Okay.
Who is this? Grace?
Grace, I still have a point of order. I suggest that we deal with the method of vote, of the election after we hear from Terry.
Okay. Hold on one moment. Okay. Terry, I just, as the chair, pro temp chair, we had not received the cost from the recent fund drive. We have not received the cost from other previous fund drives, only one in December. That was the minor one. It was mailer. You have the floor, and then we will entertain questions from the committee. Thank you, Terry. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming you say you have not received the report?
I just received it now. It was mailed to me. By someone else. Somehow it was not coming in to me, but I just got it.
Okay, yeah, I had sent that this morning.
Okay.
And I don't know how detailed I can be in whatever questions you have, because this essentially was a report I had not been aware of, and I ran it for the first time just the other day, so I don't really, I can't go into great detail on how the figures are collated, but in the message I sent, I pointed out that it can be a little misleading. It doesn't take into account all the costs associated with the premiums. It just reflects the actual, what we understand to be the purchase cost of the premiums. It doesn't include shipping materials and postage. So it is kind of a lowball sense of the premium cost in relation to the overall fund drive. That said, it does seem to be reasonably close to what the costs are likely to be. Given that we've reduced the number of different premiums we offered, and And we do still have a number of donated premiums that we're not paying out to acquire. So, again, I can't go into much more detail than that. If you have specific questions you'd like me to address, please go ahead.
If you can clarify, you said that is not including the postage, and what else did you say?
The shipping materials, the shipping envelope that we have to buy, and the packing tape and so on.
Got it. Shipping materials. So, in other words, this is just a rough estimate, like you said.
Right.
And based on the cost, our actual cost of the premium itself, but not necessarily. And so what assurance do we have that each one of these line items was actually utilized for this recent fund drive? Is that a sure thing, or there's no surety of that?
What do you mean by line items?
In other words, each, you have a code for each premium, right? So
yes.
Each one, right. And when you say pledged, what do you mean by pledged? That column, you have two, pledged two and three. I can see our cost. What does number two column would be? What would those numbers be?
Okay.
The numbers that had to be sent out, numbers of premiums that were...
Okay, yeah, number two is the actual count of the individually requested premium. You know, so,
Got it.
So on line two, classic mug, a person made a pledge, and that was all they asked for. Okay?
Oh.
So then column... where that's the dollars
okay.
raised related to that specific premium request.
Mm-hmm.
And four indicates that of those 32 requested, 11 have been sent. Outstanding, I guess that means how many more we have to acquire in order to, or those that haven't been sent. Okay. I think actually, yeah, as we work our way to the right in that top row, you know, it says paid to date. So comparing that to column F, the dollar pledged, $2,680.11, and as of the time the report was run, we've collected $2,431.73. So that means either there are some pledges that haven't been paid at all, some are being paid in installments.
One moment, Terry. Can someone coughing mute their phone, please? This is so bad. Go ahead, Terry.
Okay, and I think the rest of them are fairly self-explanatory. Again, it's relating costs based on the premiums that have been sent and are waiting to be sent. The premium percentage, I don't quite, let's see, 7 plus 8. I don't quite understand what that is calling to. But overall, if you look at the summary rows at the bottom, you know, lines 139 through 144, you see the total premium expenditures or projected expenditures, whether we've paid for them yet or not, is $18,330. And column F shows the total dollars raised for that fund drive, $430,100. 48 actually is what it says.
48. I don't see that. I see column F has a total of 430,148.36. Are you referring to column F? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's total. Hold on. So that would be total pledged, but not necessarily collected. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Out of that pledge, what is the percentage uncollected?
All right. Well, it looks like the, let me see. I have to, okay, so paid to date is column I. So we see column F, the 430,000. Column I says so far we've collected $374,098.80.
Okay. So that is column I represents what is still outstanding?
No, that's... That's what's been collected. Outstanding is
got it.
Outstanding is column K.
Okay. So that's 993,49.50. Okay.
That seems to be specifically related to premiums.
That doesn't make.
Correspond directly to those other figures because those figures are regardless of whether premiums or not. That's the total for the fund drive, and the column K seems to be specifically related to premiums.
Okay, so what we need to find, what we need to find out. One moment. What we have issue with is that this is the first time we're getting actual costs as best as you can present it to us. And then we also,
Terry, are you still there?
Going on right outside the office, so I'm having a little trouble hearing, and you may be picking that up as well.
Okay. So, Terry, what we would like to find out is when we have the percentage uncollected. What is the where is the amount of the uncollected fund from the pledge? The total pledge is 430,000. Out of that, where is the uncollected amount?
Well, yeah, you can just do the simple arithmetic and subtract the.
We can deduct it one from the other. Okay. I from F. Got it. Okay. I am going to open it up. Who wants to be on the stack?
Fred. Could put Fred on the stack.
Fred? Who else wants to be on the stack?
Grace.
Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Fred.
Yes, Terry. Looking at your spreadsheet, I notice in cell M145, that appears to be the total percentage of who's making all the noise? Percentage cost of premiums versus pledges. It's 4.26% of the pledge of the pledge amount. Is that correct?
Again, that's the column that, as I was reading across the top row and saw what it said there, premium. Percent 7 + 8 / 3. I actually don't know what that is referring to. Again, I ran this report for the first time literally a couple of days ago, and so I haven't really spent a whole lot of time trying to understand it, or even trying to verify the information. And initially, when I saw it, it seemed to me that the totals were kind of low. I went back and found instances where we hadn't entered the premium costs because we didn't know them at the time or they had been misidentified. So what we see now is pretty well up to date in terms of the costs that we know about. And, you know, so now it seems reasonably
correct to me. But I didn't
go
much further to the right to figure out what all the columns meant.
I have the same problem. I've just seen your spreadsheet in the last 10 minutes. So I'm looking at so that seems to be somewhere in the ballpark. That would be premium costs versus pledge amount. That's under 5%. That seems reasonable, but I'm not sure. I'm looking at myself and trying to figure it out. But thank you. This is somewhat useful.
Okay. And again, this is a built-in report, and you're saying it's my spreadsheet, but that's how it comes out. It's not a spreadsheet that I designed. So.
Well, it's Allegiance's spreadsheet. Thank you.
Yes.
Grace, you're on.
Okay, is that are those the only questions? Are those your only questions, Fred?
For now, I'm trying to figure.
Okay. All right. I've been curious, Terry, as to what percent of the listener support income comes from sustainers, and what percent comes from one-time donors.
Okay. Well, that's a much different question. That's not related to this specific spreadsheet, and that's a very squirrely figure that's been dogging us from the moment we converted to Allegiance, because the way Allegiance identifies sustainers doesn't apply to all instances where people are sending sustaining payments. There's a classic sustainer model that Allegiance uses where someone makes a pledge. Say you call in, you make a pledge of $120 total, which means $10 a year, $10 a month for a year, and if you're a sustainer, then automatically goes forward into the following year, and so on and on until you tell us to stop. And that's flagged as a sustainer, and that's how Allegiance recognizes it. Now we have what, for all intents and purposes, are sustaining pledges that come from the web. We have people who make monthly donations by PayPal and through another portal called DonorBox, which are payments that happen on a regular basis, and we import them. But Allegiance sees them all as discrete payments that are unrelated to any sustainer plan. There's no sustainer plan that's been defined for them to be attached to when they're read into the system. There's been no way of coordinating those. So it's only by assigning them a source code that I can report on them being sustainers. And there isn't a unified way yet that I've spent the time to try and bring those together, just because it's been a challenge just to get all that stuff up to date. So so that's a long way of saying I don't have an answer for you. I can't even ballpark it at this point, because there's been so much going on this year. Even though overall donations are down, we've been kept pretty busy. So and in fact, the number of sustainers has dropped because of the financial straits people have been suffering for the past year. We have had a number of people contacting us throughout the year saying they lost their job or whatever, so they have to stop their monthly giving, and they hope they can resume it at some point in the future. So I can dig around a little more outside of this call and see if I can come up with something to send you later on that score.
Lawrence to the stack.
Okay.
Yes,
Michael. Did you hear Michael earlier?
Grace, Yes, I got you, Michael and Lawrence. Grace, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, just put me at the end of the stack then. It's okay.
Okay. Lawrence, Michael, Grace, before you come back on, I need to put myself there.
This is Dave.
Grace. Is this Dave?
Yes, put me on the stack, please.
Sure.
Okay, Terry, thank you. Good to hear your voice, man.
Thank you.
So one of the things that I'd like to inquire about is in regards to premiums, has there been a assessment or a look at reducing the amount of premiums that we purchase and just stuff that has to do around premiums? If you could take a few minutes to edify me on that. Thank you.
Well, that's been a goal, believe it or not, for the past few years. And when we switch to the system we're using now, Allegiance, we're coming up on the anniversary in May when we went live with it, that we became much more concerned with lowering the number of different titles we are offering and, making things simpler. And of necessity, we found that the way Allegiance is structured, it kind of demands that. And also, since we are dealing, since we haven't had in-house volunteers taking calls during pledge drives, we really need to simplify for the benefit of the operators taking calls elsewhere in the country who don't listen to KPFK, have no idea what we're broadcasting at any given moment. So, to make it really workable for them, we had to lessen the number of variables. And that we see here, we have lines corresponding to 137 different premium items, which is significantly lower than the numbers that we've been, more typically there are 400 different items or had been in prior years. So I think the realities forced upon us by the pandemic and the new software has helped speed that along. And we are looking to, further reduce the number of different items as we go forward.
Thank you, Terry.
Bella, could you add Fred to the stack?
Okay. One moment, Fred. Next is Michael.
Yeah, thanks. So that column that we were talking about earlier, the percentage is, in fact, the ratio of the value of the pledge versus the premium cost. So the 7 plus 8 refers to column 7, the premium sent, and column 8, the premium is outstanding. That's the total cost of premiums. And then it's divided by column 3, which is the amount of money pledged. And so those percentages are a comparison of the cost fulfill. My question, however, is about something else which is a little more troubling to me. It's column L, which is net revenue.
Uh-huh.
And that says six minus seven. So what they're doing is they're looking at the amount of money that's actually been paid to date, which is six,
uh-huh,
and subtracting from that the cost of the premium sent. Uh-huh. I guess my main point about that is it's not on you. It's how they set it up, but that's very deceptive because in many cases, the premiums not sent outstanding exceed the value of the premium sent. So, for example, down at the bottom on 145, the premium sent come to a little less than 9,000, and the premiums outstanding are a little over 9,000.
Uh-huh.
So, if there's some way to more accurately assess, the net is not really, that's a momentary net is what I'm saying. It's not the actual net, so it's a little deceptive. It's not, like I said, it's not your fault.
Michael, can you speak? Can you speak into the mic or away from the mic? It's hard hearing you.
Okay, I'm saying that column L, which is the so-called net revenue, is a little deceptive because it does not include the cost of the premiums that are still outstanding. So
right.
It's about $9,400 less, really. I think it's interesting because we have had discussions in the Finance Committee about some way to record the premiums that we owe as a accounts payable. It seems like we could pull that fairly easily off this type of chart. It shows us how many premiums are still outstanding that we have to come up with the money to cover. I know historically one of the problems has been that often we don't raise enough money in one fund drive to cover all the premiums. We have to wait for the next fund drive to come up with the money to buy the premiums to send to the people from the previous fund drive. So I'm not sure if that's still happening.
You're done, Michael?
Well, there's another sentence, but I'll stop.
Okay. Terry, can you, if you have a response?
I think, well, I guess there are a number of things that play into this. One of them is that when we first started offering people, donors, the option to pay in installments, on-air people really took to the concept of saying, oh, yeah, you don't have to pay it all at once. You just, you know, pay us $10 a month, whatever, and we'll send you your items. And the problem is, you know, that makes it more amenable to a lot of listeners saying, oh, okay, sure, I can manage that. Other stations, I can't speak whole cloth about this, but I know some stations have had a policy of, well, yeah, you can pay installments, but we're not going to send you the premium until the full amount is paid. You know, so then people get upset saying, oh, they didn't say that on the air, and I'd have to wait so long and so on. And, you know, we took to the practice of figuring that, well, if they're paying by credit card and we get two good payments, they're probably good for the rest. And so we're essentially going to send them their premium on the honor system, thinking that it's more likely to get paid in full than not. If we get it on a credit card or if we're doing an EFT and drawing directly out of their bank account. And also that was a simple survival measure because we couldn't afford the space of just stockpiling premiums waiting to send to someone who made their pledge a year before. That's not an ideal business model. Other stations have seen the reality of the allure of people paying in installments and getting their premium sent before it's fully paid, but they'll have a higher fulfillment requirement than we do. Ours has remained pretty low, again, because of the frequency of the fund drives we have, and we don't want to have a lot of inventory laying around between fund drives, assuming we get the inventory. So if I had to start it all over again, I'd certainly, you know, try to revise the premium approval release level to a higher percentage. There have been attempts at that over the years, but that's been, again, with the number of variables we deal with, the number of different programs, and just getting everybody on the same page, it's rather a challenge. But going forward, it may be something that we're able to implement. You know, we'll see. I'm not sure if that answered the question or not.
Okay. Dave, go ahead, Dave. I'll go after Dave, then Grace again, then Fred again. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello, Terry, and thank you for joining us today.
I had a couple questions. I was wondering, Terry, at this point in time, do you prefer the Allegiance program versus Mensis? Which one would you be preferring to use? I was also curious if you would prefer having the call center handling our donations or if you would rather have the in-house volunteer phone room in operation again. Could you give us your opinion on those?
Okay, Mensis had its limitations. We had our own limitations in order to, as far as what we could do with Mensis, and yeah, there were certain frustrating aspects of that. And so Allegiance offers us greater degree of flexibility in some instances. It also turned out to be much more complicated than I expected. I figured, well, you know, that Mensis had some very basic things about database management that I figured were universal. And I was surprised, you know, we did have a demonstration of Allegiance that made me feel like, oh yeah, this is essentially the same. But once we got into it and really dug in, I found that, you know, there were seemed to be different design philosophies that went into it, and it wasn't largely intuitive in many aspects. And so we are still still being surprised by it to some extent. The one really good thing about it is its web interface that allows us, it's just integrated, it's all right there. So if someone makes an online pledge, it goes right into the system, it's processed immediately. It's not, what we were doing with Mensis is we had to download the pledge data and import it into Mensis. And on top of everything else that the fund drive demands, that was hard to devote time to that during high activity periods, and that was frustrating to people around the station outside of the membership department who wanted to know, well, how are we doing on the web? Where's the web income? How much did that show? And I said, I haven't had time to import that yet. So this, it happens instantaneously. I mean, we still have to vet the pledges. We inspect all the pledges that come in online and through the call center. We have to examine them to see if there are any red flags and to avoid creating duplicate accounts. And that, depending on how busy the drive is, that can consume a bit of time. But I don't see going back to Mensis. I, for all its challenges, I think we're going to get on top of Allegiance and be able to get it to do what we want it to. As far as the phone room, I like the idea, the original idea of having the outside call center as a backup for when things got really busy in our phone room. It's easier to keep volunteers up, well, actually, yes and no. Yeah, but you have an immediacy when you're working with a group of volunteers in the KPFK phone room. The problem is we didn't always have enough volunteers, and we'd have to have staff on hand to take the calls, or that there wouldn't be enough calls come in to keep volunteers busy. So it's... And then people get bored and frustrated and want to not continue taking part. So, you know, I do prefer, ideally I'd like to have a mixture where we have a group here ready to take calls, and then when there are more calls than they can handle, there is a place for the calls to go and for them to get answered fairly quickly.
Okay. Next, I have
Thank you, Terry, for that. And Dave, I would like to just say quickly, this is great, and I'm glad that Dave covered those two areas I was going to. I obviously, everything is tied in at the hip with programming, which is why not enough calls are coming in, and they have not been. They've been declining steadily for so long. But I wanted to bring you back to what you said, Terry, earlier. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I thought I had lost the call. You said that you have had great challenges working, learning the curve with Allegiant. I can understand that. About a month or two ago, I might have included you, I believe I did, while I was writing to Barry and the rest of the committee. That is the source code stupid, and I don't mean you or anyone stupid, just like they say is the economy stupid. The source code is what guides the allegiance. The proper source code would then extrapolate every single column for the necessity of management that we need. It's a matter of aligning the source code according to the capability or capacity with Allegiant. Because Allegiant is a database, number one. As a database, it must accept whatever source code you mandate, and then it is spread or retract. So I believe that if we, well, that would be you, and if you want assistance, some folks here have offered to assist you in that area. We have some experts in this committee. And that would be a great thing in a collaborative effort to make Allegiance give us what we need for everyone's purposes. You for membership, accounting department for their bookkeeping, and five as a finance committee.
We have time.
Thank you very much. So I would like to hear your response on that.
Well, Allegiance has presented some very specific issues that I feel the Allegiance support team can address more directly than anyone else. Someone who hasn't worked with Allegiance, I think, is going to be totally lost. So we've been relying on them a lot, and there remains a lot to be learned, I'm finding. But I think they're a pretty good resource.
Can you please address the source code area? Is it an area that needs to be expanded and worked on to get the proper columns with the proper information? What?
Bella, Steve to the stack, please.
Hold on, Steve. Hi, Steve. Hi. Thank you for joining us. Terry?
Okay, you're talking about the programming language that Allegiance has written, and when you say source
right.
code, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I don't mean rewriting language. I don't mean source code to write the language. I mean our internal code that then tell Allegiance the program, this is what we need under this code. Do you follow
yeah.
me?
Well, yeah, you're talking about customization based
right.
on their code.
Right.
And well, like this report that I ran, I had no idea of its existence until fairly recently, you know, when Barry was asking me if I could come up with the cost for the fund drive. I thought, oh, I need to do a special query for that. And, I was poking around trying to find, how the various tables referenced one another, and found that what I felt I needed, it didn't seem to be there. And so I finally got around to contacting support, and they said, oh, well, yeah, we have a function that can report on that.
Alan Beek to the stack.
I said, oh, okay, well, how about that? So here we are. The tables, as I look at their query function and all the various tables that are available, it's far in excess than of anything I would expect to ever really need, far more than MemSys had, for instance, and it'd be for very specialized circumstances that I would see anyone needing to do reports or sorts based on that. So, again, as we get more familiar with it and have more trouble finding what we need, I think we can let them know, and they will very likely come up with a solution for us. But again, it's still a matter of building familiarity with it.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. Okay. There's a lot of ambiguity there that needs to be resolved. We have Steve and Alan who have not spoken. Steve?
Yeah, Terry, real quick, I'm just wondering, is Legion's willing to serve that capacity as a backup, or are they not willing to do that if we put together the phone room again?
Well, Legion's has nothing to do with the phone room as a...
Oh, I'm sorry, aren't they the... you mentioned Memphis. What phone are we using now?
Okay, MemSys was the database management system we'd been using since late 1986, and it has gone through a slow evolution.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you backtrack or anything, but there was somebody that could do it. Are they willing to do a backup for us if we put the phone room back together?
Okay, I think you're talking about someone else taking in calls for us, not...
Yeah,
really, the database management. And
well, when it overflows, like you said.
Right. Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, that's what the company that we use, they can do that if we want. And, that's what we were doing before the pandemic.
Right.
Basically, we had a rollover service engaged to stand by. So, yeah, they'd be... perfectly open to doing that for us.
Do you want to put it together like it was before the pandemic, where people come in as volunteers and answer that? Is that what you want personally?
Well, I like the phone room atmosphere, but again, that takes a tremendous amount of management and staff time, and it. I do like the energy of the room most of the time, but it is a drain, and it's been kind of a relief this year not to have to worry about that and be able to focus on other things.
So how should we modify the whole, membership department to make it more amenable to you and the rest of the staff there and your support people? How can we improve it? You've probably gone over this. I'm just curious. Continuing, I'll stop.
Yeah, that's a much bigger question than I'm prepared to address right now.
But there's small steps we can take, like you mentioned. Having the backup, off-site instead of the phone room has been a relief to you in a lot of ways. And so to some degree, I think you need to have that in the future. As a possibility to reduce stress on you and your staff. Anyway, that's enough I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Alan, you're on.
Well, it seems to me that we're wasting a good deal of time having the whole committee tied up while we're trying to figure out the details of how these systems for accounting for the pledges and the premiums all work. And I would think the thing to do be to have a task force of four or five people who volunteered to make that their specialty and spend a lot of time understanding the system and the things and preparing explanations so that the announcers, the speakers on the radio will not give the listeners misinformation, and so that the people who call into the phone room will not be given misinformation and confused with things they don't understand. Try to get it all as clear as possible for everybody so that people understand how it works, and in particular that we understand how it works. And I think that's the efficient way to go about it, is to have a small team of volunteers that actually studies and learns and understands the whole thing.
Thank you, Alan. Are you done?
I'm done.
Thank you. And I agree, but first we need to get hear from him. But that should be a follow-up, absolutely. Next is Grace.
Okay, people have covered most of my questions. It just looked like, looking at the Allegiance spreadsheet, that there is a considerable premium backlog from the last fund drive. Is that correct? And is there also a backlog from prior fund drives?
That's been pretty much true of KPFK since I began working here.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. Now next is Fred. Follow up.
Terry, thank you for – can people hear me? Terry, thank you for providing details about how the Allegiance system works, and this question about premiums and sustainers that we've been asking you, but the answers we've gotten previously have mostly mystified us, and I think this is the first time that I have some understanding of the complexity and subtleties of the sustainer issue with relation to Allegiance. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is that I've noticed on the P&L that we've been getting that for the last year and a half or so we've been breaking out the web page income separate from the fund drive room income, and that it appears that the website income in this last year has been about 25% of the total fund drive income. One of the things I understand is that the website income actually costs us less because there's not the cost of the fund drive room associated with that. Is also the bank charges and the cost of processing credit cards, is that also less with the fund drive income from the website?
The web? No, because they're processed using the same system.
Okay. Also, I would note that the Allegiance spreadsheet that you sent us today, that only includes the cost of the premium relative to the pledges. It doesn't include shipping charges and the cost of processing credit cards, and the cost of those costs are separate. Is that true?
Yeah, they're not reflected in this report.
And can you give us an idea of what the total cost of processing pledges, what the, that total cost is in terms of a percentage?
Processing the pledges?
Yeah.
The
in other words, when somebody makes
of, yeah, please go ahead. I'm not quite
I'm,
sure
I'm
what
sorry.
You mean by that.
What I mean is, what are the credit card costs for pro- when somebody pledges on a credit card?
Okay, I think Barry would be better able to address that.
I agree.
And
that's fairly complicated. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think Allegiance even can report on that.
Okay. My main concern is it seems like the website website income is going up relative to the pledge room income. Is that becoming the future for our pledge or for our fund drives?
It well could be as a more computer savvy generation tunes in and finds it more convenient to go online than to pick up their phone and call in.
Okay.
We are
okay.
At time.
Okay,
this is time, Fred.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think we've taken enough time before we end the cycle here. Carrie, I wanted to let you know that many years ago, I recall we were not sending out pledges until the full payment was received. That's how it was done years ago, years ago. I do not understand how we can continue sending out pledges without receiving the full payment. So it's really not conducive and not certainly not financially sound. So that area should, and I agree with you, the programmers, the people on there need to be on the same page, but that requires management. That would come from management, from your consultation. You talk to the manager, general manager, and the general manager instructs the program director to tell these people, do not do that. That's the chain of command. Okay, I want to thank you very much. I think that Alan's suggestion is a good one, that we should designate a task force to work with you, Terry, to see, because, you know, you have to handle many things that have been cut, and I think it would benefit everybody. How do you feel about that? I asked you that before, actually, in another way.
I think a task force would have been more helpful at the time that Aniel was looking around for an alternative to MemSys, and that maybe more options would have been explored at that time. I don't really see what benefit a task force is going to provide us at this point. Beyond what I can get from Allegiance support. So,
If I may interject, there's an accounting requirement. And in accounting, you have accounts payables, accounts receivables. The receivables are not being parsed out, never. And that is a problem for us. We never know what is outstanding. And this spreadsheet that you worked, is not being prepared in according to an accounting spreadsheet, a logical one. And in that area is where you can get instructions so that then you can instruct and request a proper a lineup, right, the right result that we need from Allegiance. So in that respect is what I am addressing. So that also Barry can get the proper information and be able to input it without any problems into the planes so that we can get the right reporting. Which is the
all right,
the
well, if you want to get a task force together to write out what you what they believe our needs are,
there you go.
Certainly present that to Allegiance and say, hey, what about it?
Okay, great. That's great. Okay, else has any other parting comments before Terry Guy leaves us? We want to thank you so much, Terry. You've been very, very gracious with your time, and I hope that you make yourself more available moving forward.
Okay, well, the questions were a little wider ranging than I expected. So
you fielded them all. You handled them all great. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your
great
effort.
All right, everybody. Well, if that's all, then I will say goodbye.
Thank
good
you,
job,
Terry. We'll be in touch.
All righty. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye. Have a great one. Stay safe.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Okay. Moving along. I think it's time for Barry. We're coming on just 2 hours. Barry, you want to go over your report?
Okay. Yeah, it's my turn. Yeah.
I reformat it so that you have the bullet points.
Bella, point of order.
Yes, Grace.
Okay. We're supposed to be going over the election protocol. For the permanent share.
Yes.
If it's going to be done by email, you have to tell people what email they should send their vote to, what email address. Who should they be sending it to?
Yes. The suggestion was that Janine Ron or Michael Novick, either one. Michael, do you want to be the recipient of the results?
Point of order.
This is Beth.
Point of order, Fred here.
Fred.
Yes. There's a problem with that. Both Janine and Michael Novick are voters in this election. And you haven't gotten any word back from Terry Goodman about if he was going to be willing to do this.
Yes, he did. He responded. He responded 2 weeks ago, and he said he would make himself available. It's very possible that he may have a conflict at this moment. He was not able to respond today, but he did say that he would be willing to conduct any election process.
Okay, but typically what Typically what Terry does is he has the list of votes. We have to establish a list of voters. And he typically, as the teller, sends out the ballots to the voters, and they send the ballots back to him. And so
I know the procedure, Fred. The procedure was already established with him 2 weeks ago. And so the list of the voting members will be sent to Terry Goodman, if that is the route we choose to follow, either emailed directly to Terry Goodman, that's fine. And then he will tabulate. And I will give Terry Goodman's email address or send it to the committee. And I can do that right now.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Janine.
I volunteer to connect everyone with Terry in an email thread right now. Everyone that is present on this call so that we can begin the process with that. And I move to begin with candidate statements.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Fred, would you like to go?
Well, I have no choice. My name is Fred Blair, and I'm the KPFK board treasurer. I've been the treasurer for the last couple of years. My I've also been the chair of the local finance committee, so I have experience chairing meetings. I don't claim to be the best chair in the world, but I think I'm fair and I try and do a reasonable job. I'll pledge to try and do that in the future if you elect me as chair of the finance committee. I try and run a business like an efficient meeting. I don't like to waste people's time with excessively long meetings. I think the National Finance Committee meets for an hour and a half every 2 weeks. A two-hour meeting should be sufficient to get the job done. So, I guess, you know, thank you, and I hope you will vote for me.
Thank you, Fred. I'm Bella DeSoto, candidate. I have been pro tem for now 4 months, and it has not been easy, very, very challenging. I find that the lack of timely reporting has been a major obstacle for all of us, not just in recent time, for many years. I have been working towards reshaping that, trying to get as much information out as possible. We continue to receive truncated and very, very late reports, which makes it very difficult for everybody. I try to run the meeting as efficient as I can. This particular one has been a learning curve, so, which is fine. I think I have been doing a fair job, and I would like for you to consider your vote for me, Bella DeSoto, and that we can move along and get better reporting and get a handle on our accounting system. Thank you. I look forward to your vote. Thank you. Okay.
Is there an up? This is Beth. Question?
Beth, go ahead.
Will others be allowed to speak to address candidate seats?
Why not?
Thank you. May I?
Of course.
Thank you. So this is Beth Von Gunten. I'm a member of the LSB and a director on the Pacifica National Board. I was elected earlier this year to the National Finance Committee, where I serve with Fred Blair now in his capacity as treasurer. I think it would strengthen our hand on the National Board if the treasurer, who is already a member there, we're also the chair of this committee. The KPFK is at this point in the process, sort of the problem child of the network. We have issues to work out, and it would be helpful to have the efforts of the National Board closely coordinated with the local board. And I've found Fred cooperative, conscientious, very even-handed, quite forthcoming with information, generous with his time when I have questions, and so hence I've nominated him today. I think it would simplify the work of this committee and the National Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Anyone else would like to express any sentiments towards any candidate?
I'd like to ask a question. This is Steve.
Go ahead, Steve.
Fred, with all that you do, which you've done marvelously for years, we've all been blessed by your help on everything, don't you feel like you might be loading up too much? I mean, you have a lot on your plate with being a treasurer and all, and I feel like it might be a little too demanding for you. What do you think?
Steve?
He's not a treasurer. Steve.
Pardon me?
Steve.
He's not a treasurer.
What do you mean I'm not a
Fred
treasurer?
Fred Blair is just a minister.
He's the treasurer of KBFK, Bella.
Steve.
No, Fred Blair is the treasurer.
Right. Let's talk, please, Bella. Go ahead.
She needs the tax.
Can I respond, Bella, to Steve?
Sure.
Steve Kaiser. What? Somebody is trying to speak, and I can't understand what they're saying.
No, it's just you, Fred. Go ahead and talk. We're all listening to you.
Okay, Steve. It's part of the treasurer's job to chair the finance committee and provide the finance committee with information on what's taking place at different levels within the organization. Obviously, I have insights into what's going on that you don't have here at the local level, and therefore I can organize, part of the function of the chair is to organize the meetings and plan the meetings, and I can use that information in the planning process to guide to guide the meetings and the discussions. Yes, it's work. It's an additional work, but it's not that more. It's not adding. It's not going to break my back. Let's say I also stream meetings at the national level for the audit committee and occasionally for the PNB. So, it's part of the job.
Right, Fred. This last year, when Kim and Bella have chairpersons of the committee, do you think that's negatively impacted the function of the finance committee? I guess I'm putting you on the spot.
No,
I don't mean to. Just wondering if it's improved Kim and Bella running things and taking that burden off of you.
This is a public stream, and I don't really want to say anything negative about anybody else. Okay.
I guess putting you on the spot. All right, I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Fred. Janine, you are on the stack. Go ahead.
Thanks, Bella. I just want to say that I appreciate the work that you've done. You've just been pro tem for three. This is the third meeting, if I'm correct.
Fourth.
I'm sorry. And the reports that you're giving, it's a lot of information. So the only thing I would say is I'm trying to wrap my head around it most of the time, but that's refreshing to get somebody that is really dedicated to diving in. And I know that as far as the national board, I attended my first audit committee. I got elected to the PNB audit committee. And I would say that it's kind of tough to get answers. And so I just want to say that I appreciate, maybe there's, now that we have a little bit of relief with the loan, that we can maybe not be as, and myself included, as intense on our questions and requests. But I do appreciate trying to keep the various different entities on point, and I believe you've been doing that. And I also feel like even just with this meeting, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And, I think I give you a lot of credit for having a very level head during this meeting when there has been a lot of interruption and that sort of thing. So anyway, I just wanted to say that I feel we're in good hands with both candidates, but I just wanted to tell you that I thank you for being so detailed in the last few months. Thanks.
Are you referring to Bella DeSoto, Janine?
Yeah.
Thank you. You never mentioned the name. I just wanted it for the stream. Thank you. Ben Janine, you are handling the issue with Terry Goodman, yes?
Yes, I am. I was just talking, but I'll do it right now.
Good. You are the rock. Okay. I would like for us to give the time allotted necessary. We don't have a great deal of time left. And I would like Barry Brooks to
Excuse
do the
me.
Best that he can.
Do you have a message from someone who says they're trying to be heard? There's a message from Ruth Strauss. She says she's trying to be recognized, and she's hit stars, or the, oh, she says pound six. It's star six. Can you
Thank
hear
you.
Us, Ruth?
Thank you. Thank you, Beth.
Maybe you
okay, I'm sorry. I apologize for doing the wrong thing. I didn't realize it. Can I just say something quickly?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Okay. I just wanted to say that in terms of emailing this teller, the votes should be anonymized, and that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Yes, it is a private vote, and everyone designates a private code to identify you as the voter. That is the way it's done. And Janine will be handling. And Janine will be handling that. Please, please mute and stop interrupting. Please, thank you. I would like Barry Brooks to please go over his summary. There's very little time left. It's already 6:28. Take it away, Barry.
Okay, KPFK Bank of America account balance as of April 13th is $81,946. We expect an additional deposit of $23,500 by April 23rd. Yesterday, KPFK paid for its payroll for April 15th because the PPP2 loan has now expired as of March 31st. So the KPFK employees will be covered for health benefits until April 30th of this month, but the payroll is now on us. We now have to pay our own payroll now. The total amount raised for the holiday December fund drive, I'm going to go over that again because I've already mentioned that to you. But I'm going to skip down a little bit further.
Barry, one moment. Can everybody mute? Can everyone mute?
Bella, Fred here. That was Ruth. That noise was coming from Ruth's phone. I muted her.
Good. Thank you. Go ahead, Barry.
Okay.
The total.
Okay, so the total amount raised for the February 21 winter fund drive, which ended on March 7th, was $429,173 with 3,260 pledges and $38,044 of sustainers with 178 pledges. Our original goal was for $700,000, so we fell a little short of that for February. The average daily collection was $12,367, and the fulfillment rate was 87%. Okay, and then KPFK Spring Fund Drive is scheduled to start on April 20th and will end on May 23rd. KPFK's outstanding accounts payable balance in Great Plains as of April 14th is $15,455. So we were able to pay off a lot of that Fisher Phillips law firm, which we had an outstanding balance of about $45,700. And the balance owing on the invoices now is $12,300 that we still owe them. Okay, then KPFK still owes Pacific Network affiliate $17,000 for a payroll advance that we received on November 30th. And then KPFK still continues to struggle in its quest to raise funds during the world pandemic for coronavirus and COVID-19. KPFK paid its central services expense in March for $36,829, and if all goes well for this month, we should make another payment for central services payment for April. KPFK's February 21 employee health benefits has decreased by $5,000 from the previous month, from October 2020 to February 2021 fund drive. KPFK raised funds for victims affected in the Caribbean, Hurricane Hanna, and immigration reform. These amounts were third-party fundraisers, which was one which was called the AFUWI. I think that stands for American Funding of the University of West Indies. The American Foundation of the University of West Indies, the Caribbean Hurricane Relief Fund, in which we paid out $7,587, the Haiti Emergency Relief Fund of $635, the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, $1,075, and the Rural Utah Project Education for $490. Okay, due to the world pandemic, KPFK's cash flow problems, four employees have been laid off to meet the staff reductions mandated by the PMB effective October 15, 2020. On February 1st, 2021, KPFK laid off two additional employees from the program department, which was the program director and the host development manager, and reduced the hours of the business manager by 50%, along with reduced health benefits. On February 9, 2021, Pacific Foundation received its second CARES Act PPP2 loan for $1.2 million to cover payroll expenses and health benefits for 3 months. The PPP2 funding loan, which I mentioned before, ended on March 31, 2021. And the KPFK employee health benefits will be covered from March 1st, 2021 through April 30th, 2021. So after April 30th, we're on our own. We have to pay our own health benefits. And the PPP1 funding loan for KPFK was forgiven in November of 2020. Let's see. The winter and spring fundraiser of this year and the fund drives associated with medium to large donations should prove to be good months for listener support revenue and podcast programs, cell phone app donations, and website online support revenue. We have streamlined some of our vendor lists to go with the vendors and provide service at a reduced rate. Of course, we went and negotiated with Telepacific Communications to give us a nonprofit rate for our phone expense. So that reduced it significantly by, I believe, like 15%. And then we also, for the budget for 2021, I did allocate $42,000 for interest expense for the loan. And then the spring 2021 fund drive and funding of the second stimulus funding, the $1.2 million to Pacific Foundation, is crucial in buying some time for KPFK to catch up with vendor expense and providing payroll funding for its employees for 3 months. This includes health benefits, license renewals, insurance premiums, fund drive premiums, property tax, national office, central services, and other accounts payable obligations. And all hands are on deck and are needed to turn around the dismal financial performance. I also want to mention that we did pay our property tax that was due this month, at the beginning of this month. So that has been paid for. Let's see, anything else I need to add? I think that's about it. Anyone sounds? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about it. I'm finished. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. I will put myself at the end of the stack. Now I'm taking it back.
Fred for the stack.
Bella, can I ask a question or request for information?
Sure. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. Might it be possible, since Mo Thomas, I believe, is still on the call, our new interim general manager, could we possibly get a report from him and then questions of both him and Barry after he's presented a report? Is that possible?
Why don't we do it now? That's an excellent suggestion, Grace. Mo, you're still with us, I assume.
Yes, I'm still here.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay.
What a trooper. So, Mo, would you like to follow up on that?
Yeah, let me be brief because, I'm not really familiar with the minutiae, but I do know that we're in a cash flow crunch, and I do know that we've had some mandated economies from the PNB as well as whatever we may devise here. So what I've done with Barry and with Terry and anyone else who can give me the relevant numbers is to examine the cash flow situation carefully and see where there might be some real economies. I see where, for example, in telecom, There have already been some good cuts and better economies to provide the phone lines and the transmission lines that we need around to, you know, to do our business. I'm not sure that there's much more to cut there. I'm told that, for example, the copier machines around the station are costing us quite a bit of money, and that perhaps at least during this COVID period, we shouldn't be paying for and having so many copy machines. So there might be some economies there that would realize some savings. Beyond that, I haven't seen anything specific. Of course, I really rely upon the finance committee and our business manager to know just exactly what's going on. But we're always looking for better ways to manage our money as well as improve our income and cash flow. I've had several meetings with several different groups. Some of them are on this call regarding programming and the programming grid and the responsiveness of the programs to the audience and vice versa and how that translates to income. So in that regard, we're going to be looking at a whole host of issues around low-performing programs. They don't necessarily have to be income bringers, but they do have to have an audience, and if not, we want to know why not. So all of those relate very much to cash flow and fiscal responsibility. And I would hope that we would work cooperatively, collaboratively to, you know, take a sober look at these things and see where we might, you know, make reasonable adjustments. And then go forward. And as I've said before, and maybe some have not heard, I am indeed the interim general manager, and I would like to hand the reins over to a new permanent general manager with the station in good shape and moving upward, moving forward. So that's my goal. Thank you.
That is excellent. Thank you so much, Mo. Yes, on Monday, the Programming Oversight Committee met. I sent you information, and I'm hoping that you can join us next month on the 10th.
Yes,
a lot of
Bella.
Alan Beek wants to speak.
Bella, could Fred ask the interim general manager a question?
Sure, go ahead, Fred.
Thank you.
Alan, afterwards.
Mo, I noticed that our operational bank account is going to be pretty much depleted by the end of the month. What are your plans for any fund drives in the near future?
Okay. I don't know if it was announced, but we are going to start our fund drive on the 20th, and it'll go hopefully just for 3 weeks. So I've already had some folks come to me and say that they had some ideas for specialized programming. But, 3 weeks, and it has a goal of $600,000 or $650,000. So we're going to shake the tree and see if we can't do that. But I would really, really like to limit that to 3 weeks, if at all possible. So that's going to require a lot of concerted effort, particularly in co-pitching and getting our shows to be productive.
That's April 20th.
Yes.
Alan Beek to the stack.
Yes. Are you done, Fred?
Yes.
Thank you. Alan, go ahead.
Well, we have been told repeatedly by the national office to cut our expenditures, and we have been told by Annual, our general manager, departed, that we couldn't cut our expenditures because the people we were paying were protected by contracts or agreements with the union, and he was doing the best he could to shed people, but he wasn't able to give us much prospects for the future, and trying to present a planned budget for this coming year was just hopeless. And now that he's gone, I hope that somebody will be able to give us some information about how much we're going to be laying people off, how much we're going to be able to cut our expenditures, so we can make a reasonable anticipation of what our expenditures are going to be. Thank you very much.
Great, okay. Alan, thank you. Mo, mm-hmm. do you want to respond if you have any response?
Well, just briefly, I you know, coming from the labor point of view, I am really loath to say that cuts are the way to balance the budget, but sometimes they're absolutely necessary. And in this case, I have not been convinced as yet, the information that's been put before me, that budgets or cuts are going to be necessary to balance the budget. They may well be, but I don't have that proof in my hand just yet. I've asked for performance figures on the shows, and I've asked for an objective cost-benefit analysis so that if and when cuts are required, we can do them correctly. One of the things that was suggested by the union was the idea of job sharing or a minor reduction in hours, but across the board, such that we could save some money incrementally here and there. I don't know that that's workable. I can tell you that, yes, that is being studied. And if it is workable, I would rather try and save jobs. Jobs, as you may well know, mean that people have to buy food, they have to pay rent, they have to get around. I see gas is in excess of $4 a gallon here, and all of that goes toward living and life. And I have to be mindful that these are people's lives we're talking about, that when they're laid off or fired, they've got to find employment somewhere. So if there's any way in the heck that we can save people in their jobs, I'm going to try and look for solutions to that. And one of them is strengthening the schedule, growing the audience, and correspondingly grow the income. And then I'm counting on this committee to be frugal. Let's say we are able to meet our goal or exceed our goal in this fund drive, we're going to have to be frugal about that money and make it last for us over some period of time.
Okay. Thank you. Who was this?
This is Beth saying to convey that Ruth is muted out again. She's been trying to ask. She was recognized for the stack.
Fred,
over.
Okay, thank you, Beth. Fred, can you unmute?
She's on
Ruth, please.
Dave, to the stack, please.
Dave.
To the stack, please.
Yes, I have you, Dave. Ruth, are you there? Ruth, are you there?
Yes. Yes. Am I unmuted? Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Okay.
Ruth.
Yes.
Hold on. One moment. Okay.
Bella, I can wait for Ruth to speak.
Go ahead. Yes. Go ahead, Ruth, please.
Okay. I just wanted to say, I don't know whether Barry is still on or not, but this is the typical report that we get. We get, you know, this glowing amount of money that we took in. Then we get that we paid this and we paid that. And then there's one little cryptic comment. We need to reverse the dismal situation we're in. And then we never get a figure on how much we're in the hole. And this goes on month after month, and then we always have to ask. So I don't think it's right to say we have to reverse our dismal situation, give, you know, this $900,000 that we took in, give some, you know, where we cut employees and paid off legal bills, and then still not get any report of where we are. And that's my point.
Thank you very much, Ruth. Next is, hold on, Alan just spoke. Steve, go ahead.
Steve, then Dave, I think. I'm wondering, have you considered that right now may not be a bad time to lay people off? Because you have extended unemployment benefits paying out, I think, an average of about $500 a week, and it's just been authorized by Congress to continue this through September. So, actually, if we had to lay anybody off, they may be doing better in unemployment than they would be doing otherwise, especially if it's going to be tax-free, at least the first $10,000 of it. Did that make sense? Anybody hear me?
Yeah, that, this
you,
is Mo.
Go and ahead, that, Mo.
Yeah, I said, this is Mo, and that makes sense. One of the things that, we had promised with the two rounds of PPP money was try to save as many folks as possible. So, yes, unemployment benefits would be part of the calculation.
Yeah.
Alan Beek, may I speak again?
One moment. I need to clarify, Alan. One moment. It is not unemployment, Mo. This is from the Economic Department of California. They cover up to 75% for a length of time in the issue of furlough. So this is an area that you need to investigate. Okay, it's not unemployment. Okay, go ahead, Alan.
Oh, no, Bella, I am talking about unemployment. The state level of employment has been bucked up by federal legislation so that unemployment, people are getting up to like $500 a week in unemployment. So it might make it effective to lay people off now and to think about bringing them back in the fall. That would give us some leeway. That's the point I was making.
Okay. The other option is the 75% payroll coverage. Okay. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, I'm done. Thanks.
50%.
I think Dave's next.
Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Bella. Mr. Interim General Manager, thank you for joining us today. One of our recent layoffs, we lost Christine Blasdale that already had a whole bunch of vendors that we did very good with as premium, people that offered us premium. And even though she has gone, I would recommend that Buku Foods and some of the other people we are using should still maintain a relationship with the station as a premium vendor, and we should just do new recordings with some other hosts with these existing vendors. Another thing is that I ran the station's cab for about 8 years here, and every cab meeting, everybody wanted more Tom Hartman, not less, and we need to make sure that we do that. We either maintain his on-air time or increase it, and we work that airtime as a good source of donation premium money. And then the last thing is, God, what is that? The last thing I'd like to mention is that Pacifica Radio needs to completely rethink and restructure how we look at the PRA as a source of revenue. One of the things that's absolutely exclusive to Pacifica Radio is our material that's available at the PRA. We should be offering more Pacifica Radio exclusive material in smaller quantities than what is currently done now on these jump drives and things for more money. And also, one of the things that was mentioned during cab meetings, especially from our older members, the ones that have been with us for years and years and years, was that they stopped donating or had no use for the jump drives and the other things that were not CD-related. And that some CDs from the PRA with that material should be made available despite the fact that the PRA wants to stream and do all these other things. Pacifica Radio needs to offer material almost on the same way that you can go to the Amazon store and look up and get recordings. And that should all go as a revenue factor for Pacifica and Pacifica KPFK. And this is not looked at. We never discuss revenue, and I just think it needs to be done. I know we have a development committee and other things. The programming committee doesn't take into account that the other local public radio stations are doing really great with a fraction size of the broadcast transmission that we have, and it would be very simple just to have more Democracy Now! Type programs produced and offer material and copy a little bit more, move a little bit more towards the way they do things and not the way we've continued to do them, because what doesn't work, it continues to not work. And I want us to open our minds and, in particular, look at the Pacifica Radio Archives as a source of revenue to support the entire network. And I just want to say thank you. That was it.
Thank you, Dave. Well said. Okay. I would like to add myself now. And I want to say that rethinking the programming grid is essential. You just heard some suggestions. I may not agree with all of them, but we have got to shift away from the funk we have dumped ourselves into, which has not worked. It has declined and destroyed our membership. And we have got to bear in mind our mission statement at every step of the way, because our mission statement has been trashed, has been left behind, and this is the time for change. And many people that have been way on the salary bank here, we are a nonprofit. We are not a career company. We are not for profit. We are nonprofit. These contracts, union contracts, should have never been put into place, should have never happened. Look where we are today. And I am not a union buster. I appreciate unions. I support unions. That is not the issue. We are a nonprofit. And everything, again, I repeat, is tied at the hip of programming. So, and $650,000 is way too high as a goal. Our last goal was extremely high at $700,000, and we came way below that. We never factor in all our overhead into the cost of every fund drive. And when we start doing that, we will begin to see our net. Our net. What is going to be our net? If we do not think that way, we will not be able to formulate a good goal, a realistic, a real goal, especially at these times. Thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else to the stack?
Yes, Alan.
Alan. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, I just want to repeat that we're told repeatedly we've got to cut our expenditures by 30%. But as soon as you start talking about laying off people, oh, no, there are a lot of reasons why you can't lay anybody off. You can't cut your expenditures. So they're told out of one side of the mouth to cut our expenditures 30% and told out of the other side of their mouth that we must not cut our expenditures. That's the fix that we're in here in the finance department in KPFK. We're getting contradictory orders. I just want them to be aware that they are giving us contradictory orders. I'm through.
Thank you, Alan. I fully agree with that. Okay. Anyone else to the stack? And we are not reaching 7 o'clock soon. So we will be adjourning timely at 7 o'clock. 7:30 is our governance committee meeting. Mo, do you have any comments?
Yeah, well, there's only two. First, I hear you all, and I have spoken to the matter of premiums in the past. And I would just tell you that every aspect of our budget, every aspect of our operations has to be examined for cost benefit. Obviously, programming is a core part of that. We need to grow our audience. There's ways to do that. Premiums but premiums are I think, addictive, because we have to look at the cost, which is lost in the premium. We have to look at the limit on the premium. We shouldn't have premiums sitting on the shelf. And then there's the man hours required to get those premiums out, the postage it takes to get them out. All of that subtract from whatever net benefit there may be. So we really, really, really have to be much more judicious about that. Second thing is, I hear that there is going to be this governance committee meeting, and I don't know whether I'm expected for them or not.
Can you repeat that, the governance committee tonight? Can you repeat that?
Am I expected to attend?
No. This is you were invited to the LSB, the monthly LSB public meeting, which is this coming Sunday. Yes.
That's the agenda for the LSB meeting. Proposed agenda.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Who was this?
Oh, this is Beth. I just wanted to say that. You may not be expected to attend, but I want to make it clear that you're welcome to attend if you'd care to. You can sit right where you are now or wherever else you want and reach us all by phone. Well, all the all half right. of us will be there anyway. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, Bella, can I make a comment?
Michael? Did Bella. I hear, oh, is that Barry?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Barry. You received no questions.
I just want to make a I just want to make a comment that the total personnel cost for the month of February, because of our cuts, is 25% lower than it was in February of last year. So I just want to make that understanding.
Okay, we appreciate that, because I was going to ask you what the status is. You did see the list of all the employees that I sent in. You never responded, so that you can let us know what's going on there, because we've had some layoffs in the recent months. And
right, and then also salaries have been cut by 28% from last year, from February of last year.
Okay, salaries. Okay, when you say personnel, you mean the bottom line. When you say salary, it's just a salary, right?
Right. Well,
got
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. So 28% for that. Got it. Okay,
right.
Thanks for that.
Can I just back with a quick comment before we end?
Who is this?
Michael Novick.
Michael. Go ahead, Michael.
Quick comment before we end. I did look at the P&L narrative from
Nita,
which we didn't get to. And I just want to point out that apart from the PPP money, almost every single station was in deep, deep red ink deficit through the period reported. So I think we really need to take that into consideration.
Thank you, Michael. Absolutely. And I have been putting things into QuickBooks as well to get quick reports. I have to finish 2021. These cuts are essential. They are necessary. They're necessary. This is not something that happened overnight. This has been years mounting. And that is the history that one needs to understand, the trajectory. Okay, I am going to make a motion, and I would like people to make a vote. We're coming on to 6:59. The motion is that we elect a follow-up day to go over a number of issues that we were not able to cover tonight in our agenda, and that is primarily the P&L. We need to really discuss it, and I would like Mo to be present for that meeting as well. I am entertaining a date from the group. 4:30 is a good time for everybody. So, it's open.
About in 2 weeks on the
28th, that's Wednesday. I have a monthly meeting that night at 7 o'clock. It's steady every last Wednesday of the month, 7 o'clock, with the Peace and Freedom Party. How about the 29th, Thursday?
Works for me. Does it work for Mo and Barry?
I'm sorry, say that
Thursday's
again.
Thursday's a bad day for me.
Tuesday, no good. Okay. How about Thursday the 29th? Or Monday the 26th? So we've got Monday, Thursday.
How about Tuesday the 27th?
The 27th, that looks good too. What
the audit committee, the PNB audit committee is meeting on the 26th and the PNB finance committee on the 27th.
Oh, then that's out. Thank you, Michael, for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that leaves us with Monday? Beth, can you... move away from the, okay. The 26th, Monday?
Yeah, I'm saying that's the PNB audit day on the 26th at 5:30 our time.
Oh, that's right.
PNB
so that also
planning.
That leaves us with the 29th, Thursday. Going one? The
29th.
How could you do that? Going wide.
Not long enough.
So we will meet on the 29th, 4:30. Please, folks, put it on your calendar. You will receive a notice, because we need to follow up before we go into May.
Bella, don't forget to post that meeting.
I will be doing that, which is why I said everybody will be receiving a notice. Barry, I will be sending you some questions from your summary. I hope you can respond to them in previous questions, okay? And I will resend them to you, please. Thank you very much, folks. This has been great. The KPFK Finance Committee met today, April 14th, 2021.